Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at four with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Some people just don't get it. It's probably not even worth explaining. The text line's going to be the text line, right? Welcome to the show, Football at 4. People get very defensive. People hear what they want to hear instead of actually listening to what's said. When Coach McIntyre goes on and on and just kind of rambles, to be quite honest with you. Now, VJ has been asked questions about things like that. His answers are like 30 seconds long. I'm focused on the game this week. It's got nothing to do with nothing. Here we go. I mean, that's the right way to answer things. I'm going to give VJ a little credit here. And I know people are angry at VJ, Al.
I think people are just angry.
I think they're frustrated. They don't like losing. Nobody does. And VJ's job is at risk as much as anybody else is. And he knows it. But he's handling things. I gotta give him credit. He's handling things with poise, composure. I don't see, you know, McDaniels. When McDaniels was nearing the end, there are all sorts of cracks in the foundation, Al. There was all sorts of little things that you could tell he was melting down. I haven't seen anything like that. When McIntyre has a press conference like he does, those are serious cracks. That's the San Andreas Fault. That's a movie starring The Rock. I mean, there's some cracks going on. 5-minute answers to a very simple question, props, biblical references.
Well, the text line just reminded me. I don't know if you remember this. He was on Fox Sports with Clay Travis back in 2016, late December, and he hung up on Clay Travis at the end of the interview. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. Why did he do
here,
that?
I got
that
you right here.
Okay.
It will always be that way.
You were talking about Mike McIntyre, incredible season coaching Colorado. And did you get contacted or your agent get contacted about any jobs this offseason?
I have no comment on any of that.
So that means yes.
Oh.
No, I have no comment. I really didn't want to get into all this, so I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Oh, I think he was told.
Good for Clay Travis. McIntyre.
I think he was told before the interview that he doesn't want to field any questions about his future outside of coaching at the University of Colorado.
Clay Travis could be a real jerk to be nice. I don't blame Coach McIntyre for being upset with that.
Right. I mean, when we say, hey, these questions are out of bounds, don't ask these questions, then don't ask them.
Right. Or don't do the interview. And we've done that, by the way.
We have literally told people, well, if we can't ask you about this, then we don't want to talk to you.
And they said, okay. And then we're all like, okay.
Clay Travis wrote this also. Amazingly, once McIntyre hung up on me, the SID at Colorado, a goateed bald man named Dave Platty lost his mind and sent an expletive-laced email and voicemail to our scheduler, who kills it booking guests for us and is great at her job but had nothing to do with my interview questions.
Well, Dave is loyal to the program and the people that work for the program, and Dave's just Dave. Dave's doing his job. I don't blame Dave for being upset either. You know, Clay Travis isn't honest there because he doesn't explain, you know, what the conversations were before the interview was set up.
Right.
So I think Clay Travis conveniently leaves that out. And you made a snarky comment to a guy.
So the answer is yes.
I got it. We've made snarky comments before, and I don't blame a guest if they're upset if I make it. Yeah, that is a really snarky thing to say.
If I tell you don't take it there, then just don't take it there.
Are you guys like close friends for the past 20 years where you can make little comments like that? Clay Travis. But by the way, making an observation with how a guy is handling a press conference isn't being critical of his beliefs. It's an observation about how he's handling things. And Coach McIntyre, in my opinion, is very defensive right now.
As he should be.
And probably, from what I heard out at Dove Valley, Troy's not backing off his report. So we'll see what happens. But anyways, getting us off our game. Did you see, we're going to have Cecil on here in a second. Cecil's at Famous Dave's Barbecue at Arapahoe and Parker. That sounds good tonight. Cecil special, $10.43. That,
delicious.
That could be okay. We'll dig into the Chargers. We talked to Philip Rivers today and Anthony Lynn. Yes, Brian?
United Airlines is going to waive change fees if you're trying to fly from Mexico or fly from wherever you're going to Mexico City, instead changing your flight to L.A.
Oh, so if you had a flight from Mexico City,
you can now change it to L.A. without a change fee.
Who? United will do
United.
That?
United announced that just now.
So if you just book a ticket today to Mexico City.
That offer it's nice PR, but there's no way it costs more to fly anywhere to L.A. than anywhere to Mexico City.
Our friend Lindsey Jones
said,
I paid $200 for the change fee yesterday. Can I get reimbursed? And they said yes.
Okay. I'm just saying, usually only airlines give you a change fee when it costs more to fly to... All right, never mind. Good for United. I'm sure that takes care of about 300 people out of the 100,000 people that are going to be at that game. It's a nice little PR stunt. Get it?
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
It's a nice little PR stunt.
He's a good little player.
Okay, Cecil will join us next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Here comes the hot stepper.
Here comes the hot stepper. I'm the lyrical gangster.
The lyrical gangster of football is Cecil Lamion. Tonight at 7, he will desperately try to make excuses and explain how I was able to beat him at fantasy football once again.
Yeah!
Actually, we split during the regular season, so we'll see each other in the postseason most likely.
Right, and remember last year you beat me 3 times.
I know.
Once in the regular season, once in the postseason for the championship.
That's right.
So, yeah, I'll make all the excuses, maybe over a plate of milk toast.
There you go. Just spell it the right way. All right, Cecil, the Cecil special, $10.43. That sounds really perfect tonight. I think I'm going to rally myself out there. It starts at 7 o'clock. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from where I live at Arapahoe and Parker. And, you know, go out there and yell at Cecil about whatever you do. Cecil, I was out there at Dove Valley today making one of my rare appearances this fall. And my sense is everything's relatively calm. I didn't sense anybody was really all that fired up, nor was anybody all that down. To me, it was like a working man's, if maybe even a little bit fresh out there coming back from the bye week. What were your impressions?
Well, and the impression out there and talking to guys and going through the locker room is that they're ready, and they're ready for this challenge. Chris Harris is the only one of all the players we've talked to since, what, August, that has mentioned the playoffs. Now, it wasn't today when he mentioned that, but he has mentioned it before the bye, like, hey, they got to get on a run. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's the type of confidence. There's no such thing as overconfidence that you have to have. And I actually like that Case Keenum today showed confidence when he answered me and said that, hey, is the best yet to come? He's like, yeah. Him and Bill Musgrave seem to be working it out. Now, I think Musgrave is simplifying things, so it's not Case like rising to the occasion and really working with Musgrave's playbook. I think it's more Musgrave kind of simplifying things, using more tight ends, using more play action. But either way, Case Keenum played his first clean game last time out against the Texans, and we could look forward to a good game this time against the Chargers defense. We're watching to see if Joey Bosa can come back this week. Limited practice today.
Here's that conversation.
It seems like you and Bill Musgrave are getting more and more on the same page. Would you say there after the bye, the best for you is yet to come?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the same for the whole offense and this whole team. You know, I think we're all excited. We're all, really working hard. We spent some time away, obviously resting this past week, but, getting our minds right and getting ready to go again to really hit the gas pedal. I mean, it's whatever it takes time. You know, it's hold nothing back time. It's fire all the bullets in the chamber, whatever other cliche you want to use. You know, it's time. And, I think as a team, as an offense, you know, that's where we're at.
Dude, he dropped four cliches within 10 seconds. That was impressive.
I know, but it sounds like a guy who now finally understands, like, they'll start thinking about other people if they haven't already, whether it's the draft or trading or whatever. I don't care, but they'll start looking for another answer at quarterback. He's got basically a 7-game audition, and then we'll see what happens next year, because if he keeps playing like he's played most of the time this year, the team will move on. They'll have to move on. They only signed him to a 2-year deal in case from day one should have sounded like just sounded in that clip. Like, it is go time. It's go time on his career because he finally gets a chance to be the man, and he gets everything he wanted, but the Broncos don't get what they wanted with the way he's played.
What's been great about the new plan, it has more stretch plays to it, which gives you the option to boot off of them. And, of course, we've seen, Case Keenum move around a little more. Like this is what makes him most comfortable. I see this being huge, but how do we get a guy like Philip Lindsay involved like the Chargers do with Austin Eckler?
Or even the Saints do with Alvin Kamara? And here's the answer. I'm going to ask Bill Musgrave about it tomorrow. Are you going to line him up as a receiver? Because it was a few weeks ago I asked Musgrave about Lindsey's pass protection, because that's kind of code for, he can be in on passing downs. And he was fine with his pass protection, but it goes beyond that. This isn't just running a screen pass or a swing pass, a wheel route out of the backfield. This is actually lining up as a slot receiver, lining up, creating mismatches. And you can dictate to the defense, because there should be more formations. I think it's happened once this year where Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay were on the field at the same time. But you should do that more often, because you declare that it's heavy. It's heavy personnel. And then all of a sudden you motion out Philip Lindsay to the slot. Guess what? That's a mismatch 101 big time. So use him more as a receiver. Still get him his 15, 20 touches. This is not about using Philip Lindsay less or managing his touches, watching out for the little guy. No, this is utilizing him to create the best mismatches. And that could come actually as a slot receiver.
As Derek Wolfe, did you see him in the locker room at all today?
Wolfie usually kind of stays away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because he made some comments about, hey, I thought we were going to have a quarterback here. Hey, I thought we were keeping Wade Phillips here. Yeah, it's kind of a, What are all those comments about?
Yeah,
truthful, I guess.
I mean, it's Wolf, right? He's always going to be up at the forefront with what he says. But you really thought they had a quarterback? Was that Brock? I think those comments he was talking about was Brock, because he signs that deal as they're making that run to Super Bowl 50 off the top of my head. And Osweiler was still there. You think maybe they'll keep him around, and we'd be in year three of the Brock experience, basically, as the starter. So maybe that's what he was talking about, but it's a little late for all that.
All right.
I want to ask you something real quick about Courtland Sutton and how he's being used with respect to other young wide receivers that are being used in the NFL. Are the Broncos finding new and creative ways from all the work that you do on the other wide receivers to get him targets besides just jump balls?
Yeah, I hope so, because that's what Courtland Sutton can do. He can run the full route tree, and they need to see more of that from him. What I want to see is that concentration improve, because if he does want more targets and more involvement when they do throw a jump pass in the end zone or a deep pass, he's got to lock onto that. I mean, Case Keenum doesn't make the greatest throws, but we all can say, hey, that pass against the Texans that fell to the ground, that was in the end zone for Courtland Sutton, it was a good throw. It was a good throw by Case Keenum. And
good throw. That was a great throw.
Yeah, and if he wants more of those great throws, or at least some good throws from Case Keenum, he's got to catch that. So I would like to see, and you compare him to like DJ Moore with Carolina. Norv Turner is being creative. That's shocking. Calvin Ridley in Atlanta. I look at Courtland Sutton. I don't see why he can't be doing what some of those other guys are, if only he would, one, catch the ball,
And Bill Musgrave can loosen it up a little bit. He can be more creative.
Okay. Thanks, Cecil. We'll see you at Famous Dave's.
Be good, fellas.
All right, pal. Cecil was favored to beat me, by the way, but he didn't.
You are my champion, D-Mac.
How's my fantasy team doing?
You didn't join our league.
I thought you signed me up anyway.
No, you withdrew from it. You made a little hissy fit.
You got drafted Paxton Lynch.
You drafted Paxton Lynch from
I
me.
Didn't do any of that. Right, John Davis threw you under the bus.
Well, he didn't want me to be in the league. If you well, draft a guy who was just cut.
I drafted you like Lamar Miller, who I thought you would like.
I like Lamar Miller.
Right?
We've got the little guy.
Yeah. I like Lamar Miller.
He's a good little player.
He's a good player.
The meltdown, we got a couple things to go through. The meltdown in Pittsburgh is comical. It is crazy how so many current NFL players don't understand what they're doing. I got proof of that. Plus, we'll revisit firing Michael Malone, Alfred. They've lost four games in a row.
I didn't say anything about firing Michael Malone.
All right, this is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac. Yeah.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly. Sugar, baby, such a sexy, pretty little thing. This little bitch, you got me spread.
I was hanging around the Philip Rivers conference call today. He said gosh and shoot like 12 times. Dude doesn't swear. You know, they've had a weird schedule. They had a couple of road games, a bye week, and then a couple more road games. They haven't played at home since they were 3-2.
Because and, the soccer team was playing there.
Is that right?
I imagine so.
I don't know.
Like that.
Their stadium holds 27,000.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out, 27,000.
I played in front of more people than that in high school. I played in front of 43,000 people in high school.
Here's Rivers about it.
Yeah, I think once you get out there, you between the lines, you play it. You know, it's like it's the reverse of the old Hoosiers movie when they go into that gym and they measure the hoop, measure the free throw line. It's the same deal. So once you get out there, you're out there playing that opposing team and. I don't know. There's much more we think of it than that once you get out there.
You love Philip Rivers, don't you?
One of my favorite players of all time.
I know. It's hard not to like him, to be honest with you.
He just plays with the heart of a warrior, man. Yep. I just
give up.
I can recognize those guys. I can see. I can feel them.
This is what he said.
Well, like I said, I go based on how we're winning. So I think everybody's playing pretty well right now. Anytime you win six in a row and send to 7-2, the team's doing things right. But again, there are a lot of things we can clean up. We haven't been good on third down. We can get better there and find a way to win another division game on Sunday.
Shoot. Let's go to, by the way, we are featuring on this show and today only second time callers, not first time callers or regular second time callers. Let me go here. Are you a second time caller?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go. So what do you want to say?
Well, Darren, I had a wonderful question about how Big Al feels about Mr. Bell calling out this year and how that affects the money for future running backs in the NFL or how that affects him, because Stokely said it cost him $14 million.
Le'Veon Bell, yeah, that's what he missed out on this year by not playing. I guess that's your question. I don't know. Stop talking.
I'll answer it. So here's my answer.
Maybe not a third time caller. Just keep it to those two great calls.
This is how I'll answer that. You know, Stokely talked about yesterday, even during his show, during the roundtable, why it's a bad deal for Le'Veon Bell to sit out and miss a $14 million payday. And if he thought there was a chance for injury, to get an injury policy. Well, an injury policy is good for one thing. It's for the end of career injuries. But it there's no protection for you if you go out and you tear your ACL up. Because we all know when you tear your ACL up, you can come back. There is no protection for when you tear your Achilles up. And we all know you can come back from Achilles tear. But what team is going to pay you top dollars if you're coming off an ACL or an Achilles tear? So I get where he was coming from. I understand his perspective that the money is out there, take the money. But I also understand how this business works. And Stokely is looking at it from a different lens than I am. And I think it's great that we can be on the same radio station and have different ideas about this process.
Well,
I was a first-round draft pick. Holding out, for me, was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the money's going to come. The question is, when is the money going to come? Okay, so whether it comes in the months of October, excuse me, from the first game of the year, which for us happened on the first day that Le'Veon Bell could have showed up for work and been eligible to play was September 7th. The game was on September 9th. Okay, so from September 7th through December 30th is a regular season for the Broncos and most teams in the NFL. Here's what I'll tell you. If you do the math, it's September, October, November, December, 4 months. I'm telling you that Le'Veon Bell will make up that difference in the first week of free agency. Whatever the difference was, the $16 million for the 4 months they would have had that he would have had in a regular football season, he'll make that up in the first week of free agency.
Here's what I was talking about before the break. Like, it amazes me what NFL players don't understand. Today, Steelers players removed Le'Veon Bell's name over his locker and are plundering his stuff, shoes and socks and gear and whatever. Like, they're making a big display of it in front of the media. Like, it's a thing. Ah, Le'Veon's gone and, you know, that sort of stuff. We said yesterday that Bell was going to have to be okay with his teammates not liking him anymore. That's the case. And they proved it today as they were making a big deal about divvying up his stuff and, you know, making a big show of him not being there anymore. I would make the argument any player that did that has no comprehension of what they're actually doing. How players just don't have respect or understand the situation that he's in is astonishing to me. It's the same sort of mentality, I guess, that has players throwing their helmets at each other's heads. Like, some players in the NFL, Al, don't understand what's good for the whole. And they get into this mentality. I mean, the ownership must love it. Ownership must love seeing players rip on other players. Like Lord of the Flies a little bit. Instead of being kind of united together on what ultimately is the best for all of them, they fight against each other. It's amazing.
It's the reason that the collective bargaining agreement is never strong because,
right?
You know, you have guys that will, you know, big time guys that will say, I'm not losing that money. I'm going to work. So the union of 2,000 players is not as strong as the union of 400 players.
There's a fascinating documentary about the strike season in the Washington Redskins, who was a complete scab team.
All their Super Bowls have come in scab years.
It's amazing. But during that documentary,
three strikes and the Redskins have won three Super Bowls.
During the documentary, the most notable player that could not wait to get back to work was Randy White of the Dallas Cowboys. And it was like that. I need the money now. This is best for me now.
Right.
Randy White is a class A jerk of all jerks because he was the biggest name to cross the picket line and more or less put the rest of the players, just, you know, hung them out to dry. Now, you know, scab players.
But listen, man.
I think you in particular would have a hard time dealing with guys who are scabs.
No, you know what? I can't,
but
I
you
can't
must
regulate
have,
people's. Your pocketbook, but I will say
your
this.
Your distaste for a guy like Randy White must be epic.
No. You just got to understand who you're dealing with when you're dealing with people. Now, one of the great, one of the great times that I had in my lifetime was representing two different teams during the Players Association meetings. I was a player rep for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I was a player rep for the Denver Broncos. During that time period, I had a chance to meet and visit with Gene Upshart, who was at the time the Players Association. He was the head of the union. And he used to come, you know, because every year during the open meeting, he would say, are there any questions? And before he could really get his, are there any open questions? No, Alfred, we're not talking about guaranteed contracts. Because I'm like, you know, that's the only thing that I really care about. Let's talk about the guaranteed contracts. Gene pulled me to the side one night. It was just me and Gene just talking. And he said, you know, Alfred, you know, there are not a lot of people out there that understand how tough it is to organize and get, you know, a couple thousand people to say that we're not going to work until all our rights are being met and our demands are being met. And he just, out of nowhere, he said, Franco Harris. I was like, what? He's like, when Franco Harris crossed the picket line, it just changed the game. And I was like, what? I'm like, I hadn't even heard of Franco Harris and what he did during that time period. Of course, I'm from Texas. Everybody knows about the Randy White story. But, I mean, you had some of the biggest names in the NFL crossing the picket line. It's hard to organize 2,000 people and tell them you're not going to get a check. But baseball seemed to do it a way that was so different, D-Mac, that I think it really infuriated baseball fans. May have cost them some momentum at the time, but they surely made up for it with the home run chase between McGuire and
Sosa. You know how baseball got over it? They looked the other way when it came to performance-enhancing drugs. And they allowed, they allowed drugs that were banned in other sports. They allowed them to be okay in baseball because they were chasing that number.
But, D-Mac,
it happened.
In Major League Baseball, they did one simple deal. They said to all of the players, we're not going to have a postseason. We're not going to play in the postseason. And everybody remember that year.
And there's no postseason.
There was no postseason in baseball. Baseball people were upset. If football did that during this critical time in their transition away from this concussion stuff and all of the rhetoric that's been going on.
It'll never happen. You guys.
Not me. I'm no longer part of.
No, but the football players just never do it.
No, but I'm just saying. But it would.
It would absolutely never happen.
Harm the NFL in ways unexplainable.
Never happened.
I don't even know if you could recover if you didn't have a super like this year's team. If all the players, we're looking at this because all you have to know is that Von Miller's entry into the NFL will tell you how long that deal is scheduled to be.
We got to take a break.
But it's a funny deal. It's a funny deal, and the stories behind it. If I had 40 hours, hearing some of these stories, you'd be surprised.
Once again, the Pittsburgh Steelers proved NFL players are their own worst enemies. They just don't get it. Good for Le'Veon Bell. People will benefit from Le'Veon Bell throughout the course of time, and meanwhile, his teammates are mocking him. This is The Drive on the Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, we barrel on with incredibly important matters to society and the world itself, but first, Chris wants to give us something else about milquetoast. I called Case Keenum milquetoast, And then Al said he never heard that word before, and then we were looking up definitions of milquetoast, and we were misspelling it. But, Chris, yes, what do you want to say?
Oh, and yes, I am just a second-time caller.
Nice. Well, second-time caller night. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Well, briefly, I grew up on the Denver native, but my grandmother was from Germany. Her name was Gertrude, of all things.
Nice.
And you want to take milquetoast to a new level. She would make us eat when we stayed over at her house over the weekend, milk sop. And, I mean, S-O-P, milk sop. And I was hoping that Alfred could maybe get this on the sides menu over there at the
would be like just a big thing of bread, like a loaf of bread or something, or a piece of a loaf of bread.
It was this dry, you know what Melba toast is? This was,
yeah,
it had a hardness that exceeded Melba toast.
Right, so, so you'd have to put it in the milk to soften it up, to sop it up, right?
Yeah, and it would be like, come on, I want some Rice Krispies or some Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
Go, no, nine. And
nine.
You get no sugar.
No.
So, wow.
You just get this big, lumpy, stiff thing of bread and milk.
So if you want to really injure somebody's psyche, tell them they're just milk sop.
Milk sop. All right, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Great second time call. James.
You know, my mother-in-law is German, and she has
James.
Yeah, she has so many German dishes that she makes, and then some that I don't know what they are. Milksop sounds familiar.
How German is she?
What?
How German is she?
Oh,
I thought she was Dutch. I thought she was
no
German.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I don't know why I thought she was from the Netherlands or something.
I love Omi.
Let's go to James. James, you're on the fan. Hi, James.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to bring something up real quick. D-Mac, you made a comment that, hey, good, this is good. What Le'Veon Bell is doing is good for other people. And for me, it really saddens me. It's kind of the state of our world and the emphasis we put on sports. And here's why. If anybody in any sort of profession that matters to people, to this world, like as far as what it means to contribute to society and stuff, pulled something like this, it would have ramifications that are incredibly deep. I work with at-risk people who are suicidal, social worker, all sorts of stuff out here in Greeley. And it really saddens me that they can just say, hey, you know what? I don't like my situation. I want to protect myself.
Yeah, but James, you're comparing your life as a social worker, and that sounds very, very honorable. But let me just ask you a question, and I think that's a wonderful job. How many social workers do you think are in America?
Oh, there's hundreds of thousands.
Okay. How many NFL football players are there?
Hundreds.
Right. Listen, man, it's a tough thing. We're having fun here. It's a sports talk show. You understand? We're really talking about the elite of the elite. So every day when we start our show, we come to this with the premise that we are about to engage in conversation about some of the most elite people in our world. And you just have to start from there. And it's not that your profession is any less or less important. It's probably much more important. But you have to keep it apples to apples. So it's just not fair to compare something with at-risk kids and social workers to NFL athletes. We're not having a radio show that's just about the world itself. We're literally just talking about sports. So,
no, and I get that. It just seems like, man, we have really, you know, come to a place in society where sports is the most important thing.
No, it's definitely not, James. Come on, man. Yeah. All right, James. I love you, James. I love you, James. But how about this? We're just talking about sports and the world that surrounds sports. We're not talking. Turn your brain off. You're thinking too hard. You've got a much more important job. You'll have much more dramatic impact, that sort of thing. Although you got to admit, a lot of these pro athletes, James, we were just at an event Shane Ray was holding the other night. A lot of these athletes do a lot of good for other people. You realize that, right?
That.
Yeah. So keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. I'm glad you do it. Listen to us to have a laugh. You know, we talk about VJ calling people little.
He's a good little player.
Just don't think that hard about it, okay?
I laugh all the time when Alfred goes, are you serious?
Right. Well,
are you kidding me?
I'll have to say something crazy later on. Thank you, James. We're just talking about the world of football itself. We're not digging deeper into society. Okay?
It seems like most of the time that we answer questions about athletes or coaches that it always blends into the whole social mix of everything that we're involved in, though. Because if you say this is wrong, then that probably is wrong in this other area. You know,
athletes get away with so much more than people would in the regular world. It's ridiculous.
I say that they don't, because the spotlight is brighter and the rules of engagement are different.
What do you mean they don't? Aqib Talib shot himself and he kept his job.
Did he miss work?
Yes. Well, did he?
No,
yeah,
he did
yeah,
not.
He did.
No, he did not.
He shot himself in the spring.
And he opened the season up.
No, he missed some time.
No, listen, dude. He did not miss a game.
Things up. Did you shoot yourself in that incident?
Oh, man, well, the situation is still under review. And, we got to respect that process, so I'm not going to talk about that right now.
I'll give you one that athlete
is under review.
By the way, Aqib Talib was at the game last night, sitting courtside with the Nuggets and the Rockets, and he did receive James Harden's sweaty jersey after the game. By the way, the son of Bum was there as well. So the Rams are still here, still practicing.
Yeah, I like that decision. That makes sense.
Springs, and that's it feels almost weird to have those two guys in Iowa State and not be part of the Broncos. It really does.
That's
to
true.
Hear that they are at the Nuggets game, and you go, why? Why are they there? Why are those two guys there when they should be here? But I can't imagine Aqib Talib playing on this team the way that it is, the way that it's constructed now. He is a front runner. He is a big time player. And if it's not going well, he'll let you know about it.
You know, Aqib Talib is injured. He's in his 30s, and we'll see.
But D-Mac, I'm telling you,
we'll see.
Another guy who loves winning, can't handle losing, is Derek Wolfe. Loves winning, can't handle losing.
Well, we can go over some of those comments, review the day that it was at Dove Valley, talk about milquetoast to people who are little. And
he's a good little player.
And we'll get to all of it after Mark Schlereth talks about quarterbacks. Right, Mark?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Schomp BMW.
You need to understand who you have at quarterback. I think he's proven to be what he is. Can you win with him? Yes. Do you need a much better roster to win consistently with him? Yes. So you've answered those two questions. Are you going to win automatically if you find the quarterback that you think is going to take you into the next generation? If you think you can find that guy, should you go after that guy? Should you draft that guy? If you fall in love with a dude and you think that is our dude, should you draft him? Should you do whatever you can to go after him? Absolutely, 100%. But here's the deal. You need to keep Case Keenum for another year. He needs to be your quarterback for another year. There needs to be a mentorship that goes on. Remember, Phillip Rivers, he had Drew Brees for a couple of years. Aaron Rodgers, he had Brett Favre for a couple of years. There's very few guys that come into this league and just instantly light it on fire and are instantly great right off the bat. And I think that mentorship would help, and I think it would have helped other guys along the way had the Broncos been willing to spend that money. So I think you've got to keep him as your quarterback as you go after somebody and develop. And it doesn't have to be in the first round if you find a guy that you think can have that kind of impact on your franchise. But the bottom line, understand who you are, be honest about who you are and what you are, and go about fixing the most glaring issues, the most glaring needs right off the bat. And if you find that guy, then you've got to go after that guy. Those are the things I believe that you have to do. Easy to say, hard to do, but you'll never get those things done if you're not honest with yourself. I mean, you knew from day one that your boy Paxton Lynch couldn't play, and that was a 3-year fiasco that you put up with and set your franchise behind. So those are things that have to happen next year when the Broncos get their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.